You should see an outline in your bulletin. At the top it should say, overpaid. And the text is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And the title is, overpaid. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, our Father, I plead with You that You would speak this morning. That my voice is going to clamber on and try to make sense of things, but I pray that You would bring clarity to the things that I say, to the words that I speak. I pray that Your voice would be heard so much louder than my own. I pray that Your Spirit would be speaking right into our hearts, that we might see once again the wonder of the grace that You possess, the wonder of the grace that You offer to us, and that we would be amazed that You would call people like us Your own children. Please speak to our church this morning through the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read at the beginning, there were some men in the marketplace, and they were seemingly idle. Okay, I mean they were standing around, and the context really is it's probably a harvest time at the vineyard. And this is tremendous, a tremendous work, because there's these rains that come after the harvest time in those regions. And the rains and the storms come, and there's a necessity to get the harvest in before the storms come, because it might ruin the crop. So there's an urgency that's needed. And the commentator says these men who were standing in the marketplace were not street corner idlers lazing away their time, which I found interesting, because that's how I pictured these people. The marketplace was equivalent to the job center or the employment agency. A man came there first thing in the morning carrying his tools and waited until someone hired him. The men who stood in the marketplace were waiting for work. And the fact that some of them stood there until 5 p.m. is proof of how desperately they wanted it. These men were hired laborers. They were the lowest class of workers, and life for them was desperately precarious. Slaves and servants were regarded as being, at least to some extent, attached to the family to whom they worked. They were within the group. Their fortunes would vary with the fortunes of the family. But they would never be in any imminent danger of starvation in normal times. It was very different with the hired day laborers. They were not attached to any group. They were entirely at the mercy of chance employment. They were always living on the semi-starvation line. The pay of one denarius a day, if they were unemployed, the pay they would normally receive is one denarius per day. If they were unemployed for one day, the children at home may go hungry. To them, to be employed, unemployed for a day was disaster. This is interesting, some history there behind these workers. Another interesting fact, the Jewish work day began at sunrise, 6 a.m., and ended at sundown, or around 6 p.m. So there's a 12-hour day here of work for these folks. Outside in the vineyard. I have to say, I'm glad I'm not one of these guys. You know? I think I work 10 hours in my shop and I'm ready to die sometimes. But 12 hours in the vineyard, I think, is a little tougher. And the point I want you to keep in mind as I read this one more time, as Jesus says this so many times about so many things, the words that he says are, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." That's very important as we understand, or we try to understand, this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, and he starts off. It's like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And we might say, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Well, you have to keep reading. Because no one understands at that point. Like, you've got everyone's attention. Like, the kingdom of heaven is like that? In what way is the kingdom of heaven like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard? Well, we're going to hopefully answer the question as we go on. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Now, we have to notice that this first group who got hired at 6 a.m., they were agreed one denarius. And it was a standard wage. We have our minimum wage today. That's probably what it equaled out to, but you can't equal it exactly. But they were getting minimum wage essentially in our day. About the third hour, 9 o'clock, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So he's got a different agreement, essentially, with these folks that started in the third hour. I'll pay you what's right. They trusted him, so they went. He went out again at the sixth hour, and the ninth hour did the same thing. About the 11th hour, so around 5 p.m., he found others still standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" A good question. What are you doing? You're just waiting to be hired? And that's what they said. "Because no one has hired us yet." So we're still standing here waiting to be hired at 5 o'clock. The workday ends at 6 o'clock. We're still here. These guys want to work. I'm telling you. I mean, granted, they got to stand there for 11 hours, but what's better? You know, I often find if you're busy, the time seems to go faster. So I like to stay busy. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." This is in your outline. I found this so interesting. This was the commentator. "The ancient custom of these people standing in the marketplace still survives to the present day." And the commentator writes, I have observed in a number of places in the Middle East, I have observed this. One of the most striking locations is just north of the Damascus Gate in East Jerusalem. In quieter days in the recent past, unemployed Palestinians gathered each morning at a spot on a major road. Employers, usually Israelis, would pull up in vans. As the vans approached, 5 to 10 young men would rush into the street to see how many men the employer wanted, hoping to be selected. I usually looked the other way when I passed, trying not to think about the humiliation of those young men suffered and the quiet desperation that their presence reflected. It's just such a picture there. I'd like to see it. You know, like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, I have nothing to compare it to here. But wow, this is just interesting that this still goes on. Now we come to verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. Oh, this is interesting. This is kind of shocking. The order of pay here is intentional. You know, if you would have worked it out a different way, you could have paid the guys who've been there at 6 first. They would have took their money and left. They would have never known that the guys who got hired and only worked 1 hour got the same. But no, the master says, pay the guys who worked 1 hour first. And they're handing out their coins, you know. They get a denarius. And they're thinking, well, surely, because we worked the whole day, we're going to get paid more. But they also got the same amount. So what they say essentially is, this is not fair. And if you know, I tried to count yesterday how many times my son Zach said that. I think I've lost track. He said at least 3 times. It's not fair. You know, and it's over silly stuff. You know, I didn't get enough ice cream in my bowl. It's not fair. Or, you know, something else is not fair. I got too many vegetables in my bowl. That's not fair. I wonder if you've looked at that. I wonder if you've compared yourself to maybe the people you worked with or work with now. It's not fair that my supervisor, most of the time, cannot be found. It's interesting because I have a new supervisor, and it's really hard to find him. Like, sometimes I'll walk all around the entire shop before I find him. He goes and hides it very well. And everybody has this problem, though. They go up to the office, he's never in there. He's always somewhere else. And it's not fair. You know, he gets paid this much more than me, and I can never even find him. What is he doing? It's not fair. You can go on and on and on and just say to the kid, you know, or the supervisor or whoever else, life isn't fair, and just get over it. But it isn't fair. But you can almost see their point, though. It kind of makes sense. Like, how is it that we worked all day and we get the same as the people who worked 1 hour. And the unions would just be up in arms. I mean, if you were in a union shop, this would get taken care of. This would get resolved really quick. You can't do this. You can't do it. So this is clearly not a union place that this guy, these guys work for. You can file a grievance and you can win, you know, and you would be compensated appropriately. Verse 11. When the people who worked all day received their denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last only worked 1 hour. That's a grievance. You're filing a grievance. And you have made them equal with us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. And all I can say is, man, they got a good point here. They have a good point. And we can just, you know, you can really just leave it there and say, well, that's great. They have a good point. That's an injustice, right? That's not just. And there's a century-old understanding of justice. It goes like this: equal pay for equal work. Okay. But we have to say that the world is not like that. And that's the sad part about the world, that it's just evidence of the broken world. But we have to say, if you're a woman, even now this is not resolved, you're not making as much, as a general statement, as the men. You're just not. And still to this day, that exists. And that's an issue that needs to be resolved. There's not equal pay for equal work. And we have to say, in a lot of cases, women can probably do the job better. But why isn't it equal? We don't know. It hasn't been resolved. It still, to this day, is not resolved in this country. We have to say that certainly African Americans in the past were not treated anywhere near equal as the white people were. And to a degree, that's been dealt with. But actually, in the hearts of people, it still exists. It still exists. There's still that the racial profiling that goes on all the time. As I talk to my co-worker who's a man of color, he tells me, I've been pulled over more times than probably anyone else I know, solely based on the color of his skin. It's not equal treatment. So what's happening here? I mean, how can we even explain this? And here comes the words of the Master. This is in verse 13. This is on the back of your outline. But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Did you not agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go." And that's when it occurred to me, and this had to be brought out to me by the commentator. This was so profound to me. This parable represents overpaid people, not the underpaid. I might say, well, that doesn't make sense. The story focuses on an equation filled with amazing grace, which is resented by those who feel that they have earned their way to more. We should receive more. It's not the cry of the underpaid. No one is underpaid in this parable. The complaint is from the justly paid person who cannot tolerate grace. You have made them equal to us, they shout angrily. Like the older son complaining to his father about the grace freely given to the prodigal. These people who no one else would hire, who you hired at 5 o'clock, you have made them equal to us. You know, you probably go out to the marketplace and you select the big guys first. I would. I'd select the guys that can get some work done. You know, maybe these scrawny kids like me, huh? You let them stand there, you know. What can they do anyways? Not a lot. No, hire the guys who are in good shape, you know. They're buff. They're ready to work. Whatever. And he makes this point. The commentator says, their worth as human beings was directly related to how much they were paid. That's a problem. That's a huge problem, I think, in our country. How much do you make? You know, and you get into these conversations, well, wow, he makes more than me, you know, which doesn't take much at all. But at the same time, it's not that you can't let that determine your worth. You just can't. If you ever lose your good paying job, you're not going to feel too good about yourself. You know, I thought, you want to blow somebody away at Walmart? If you're in the checkout line, and you can see the gift cards right there. There's like a rack of them. stick a gift card on the conveyor with your stuff. And put whatever amount, you know, you want on it. And then when your cashier gives you the receipt, give them the gift card. And blow them away. What are you doing? Why are you giving me this? So like, you're underpaid. Yeah, you're doing such a good job. You're underpaid. You deserve more. You totally just blow them away. That's a fun way to spend some money. But the whole idea, no one here is underpaid. They got what they were promised by the owner. And that's the point he's going to make here in verse 14. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, then the first will be last. In other words, the issue here is it's not about underpaid people, it's about overpaid people. People who only worked 1 hour, they got the same amount. They were overpaid. Well, what's the reason for that? The reason is the master was generous. And that's what he said to the guy who started at 6 a.m. Are you just envious because I'm generous? That's the heart of the issue. That's where Jesus is going right to the heart and saying, here's the real issue here. You're envious. Because I'm a generous person. And it makes you mad. You can't stand it that I'm so generous. Didn't we agree upon something at the beginning of the day? Didn't we agree
And I fulfilled my agreement to you.
And I was generous to everyone else who came after. I mean, what does this mean for us, though? This was so good. I think this was Barclay in his commentary on Matthew. He says this: in one sense, this is a warning to the disciples. It's as if Jesus said to them, "You have received the great privilege of coming into the Christian church and fellowship very early, right at the beginning. In later days, others will come in. You must not claim a special honor and a special place because you were Christians before they were. All men and women, no matter when they come, are equally precious to God. There are people who think that because they've been members of a church for a long time, the church practically belongs to them. And they can dictate its policy. Such people resent what seems to them to be the intrusion of new blood or the rise of a new generation with different plans and different ways. In the Christian church, seniority does not necessarily mean honor." And I don't say that to be disrespectful. I say that because that can really happen. I'm a church kid. I can go to work and I can say, you know, these people, just a bunch of drunks. Just a bunch of drug addicts. You should listen to them talk. You should see what they do on the weekends. You should see what they do on the weeknights. You should see how they treat their kids. Those people just aren't right. I would never treat my own kids that way. I would never do the things that they do. I would never go to the places they go. But what I try to think about is, okay, what if I walked into work tomorrow and somebody like that said, "I just got saved"? That's going to be real tough for me because my attitude toward them wasn't really good before. Now they're a brother and sister in Christ to me. Hopefully I wouldn't treat them like less of a person. But it'd be hard for me. It'd be hard for me because I know what their past. I know what they used to be like. How do I change that? How are you going to give them... God, are you going to give them more than you gave me? Because I was here from the start, so to speak. I started at 6 a.m. They showed up at 5 p.m. That's not right. I didn't get enough ice cream in my bowl. I got too many vegetables. What is this? It's not fair. But I have to be careful because I'm condemning myself. I'm the guy that was hired first. And am I willing to say to the world who hasn't grown up in the church, "You're welcome in this place. You come in here. You may have been in the bar last night, but come in here this morning. You may have been shooting up, doing drugs, abusing people in your house. You come here this morning. Come and be changed. And we would welcome you into this thing we call the church, into our family. We welcome you the same as I would welcome Bill, as I would welcome Sandy, as I would welcome anyone else in here." That's tough. Because we want to say, that's not really fair. You know, would God give him the same thing he gave me? Would God give him even more than he gave me? And that's what I said, remember at the beginning, the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in the kingdom of heaven, we have to say that everyone there is overpaid. Myself included, everyone there. There's no one in the kingdom of heaven that's not overpaid. Because there was a time in our life when we didn't live for the kingdom of heaven. We didn't care about the kingdom of heaven. We didn't care that Jesus died for our sins. We didn't give a rip about any of it. And there, let's face it, be honest, there's some days we feel that way. Even now. It doesn't make a difference to us. And we do what we want to do. And we pay the price for it. But God is so generous to us. He says, I'm going to give you more than you deserve. And that's what I thought about. You know, I thought I started at 6, but actually I started at 5. In the kingdom of heaven, I started at 5 p.m. I got there late. And I was shocked. I got a whole denarius. And I said, I've been overpaid. For Pete's sake. I can't take this. It's like, why would I get a whole denarius if I started at 5? Because of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer I have. It's because of Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Him. And I'm an overpaid kid. But I'm so thankful.